Max Lucado, in his book, The Eye of the Storm, describes an exceptional experience of a little bird. Chippy is his name, a parakeet. He never saw what was coming. One second he was peacefully singing along and perched in his cage, and the next moment he was sucked up, washed up, and blown over in moments. See, it all started when Chippy's owner thought, you know what, this would really work to clean this cage if I just take the vacuum and kind of hold it in the cage and clean it. Well, she removed the attachment and began to suck clean the cage, and then the phone rang, and she went to reach for the phone, and as she said hello, the bird was sucked up. Chippy got sucked in. The bird's owner, of course, gasped with fear. She put down the phone, and then she put down, shut off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy in the bag, stunned, but still very much alive. The bird was covered with dust and soot. And so she grabbed him and thought, well, I'm going to just wash him. And so ran to the bathroom, turned the sink on, and held Chippy under the running water. Realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy didn't know what hit him. A few days after this trauma was reported, the reporter who had initially written about this event contacted Chippy's owner and asked to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she said, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. Sometimes life can be like that for us. Not all of the time, I hope, but some of the time, where we feel sucked in, washed up, and blown over. And the end result is kind of like this little bird. We just don't sing much anymore. There's little joy, there's unmotivated feelings, there's fearful of what the future may hold. And the last thing that we want to do or even think about doing is singing a song of praise to God. We may even come to church with that thought in our minds and say, just you try to make me sing today. I do not feel like praising God. I do not feel like giving thanks to God. There's nothing you can say or do that will change my mind. Well, I'm sorry, but you may not want to hear this, but the Bible says that praising God is not a when you feel like it kind of an option. It's, in fact, it's praising God and expressing thanks and honor to God is really more about desperation, anticipation, and expectation than it is even about thanking God for all the wonderful things you are experiencing. Sometimes we get it a little bit backwards. We're kind of like the athlete after they've accomplished a great victory, whether it's the World Series, Super Bowl, or Stanley Cup, or whatever it is. There's always the athlete that says, well, I just want to give praise to God for giving us such a great victory today. I want to praise God because everything is absolutely wonderful and amazing in my life. Well, that's a good time to praise God for sure. But how often do you hear the athlete on the losing side say, I want to praise God because our team stunk, because we were just terrible and we lost, but I want to praise God. Most of us tend to hold back on our praise when things don't look the greatest, when we lose the game, when trouble is brewing, when the future does not look very positive, or when we go through a chippy-like life experience. Why should I praise God? Why should I give thanks to God when things seem to be going downhill? Why should I praise God when things are tough? Why should I praise God when I end up on the losing team? Well, because the Bible tells us that it really is the best time to praise God, because it's not so much about our circumstance, but it is about the God whom we praise. It is about the God who we look to. It is about the God who we lift up our praise to. And so there's lots of stories in the Bible. I'm going to look at one fairly familiar to some, I'm sure, but it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in the Old Testament. I didn't write it out in the bulletin insert, but if you have your Bible or your tablet or however you look at it, you can just open it and we'll just follow along on it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I mean, essentially the message this morning is really about this, that when you face challenges, when you face difficulties, when there are things in your faith that are just kind of tying you up in knots, that is a good time to praise the Lord. That is a good time to give thanks. 2 Chronicles 20 is a story about one of the kings of Israel. His name is King Jehoshaphat, and basically in the Old Testament, it's a recording of God's working with man as he leads them to the place where he reveals fully himself through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But here, this is taking place probably 800 or so years before Jesus Christ even is on the ground. And times have changed, but God's character has not changed. And so there are some lessons, there are some principles, there is some encouragement that we can find in this passage. King Jehoshaphat was a descendant of King David, one of the kings in David's line, who was the greatest king that Israel had ever had. He ruled over Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, for about 25 years. King Jehoshaphat was considered to be a good king. He was devoted to God and to his commands. He did made some mistakes. He wasn't a perfect king. And some of the stories of his reign are recorded in the earlier chapters before chapter 20. But in the second chapter, in the second verse of chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat receives the news of an attack. There are armies that are gathering just beyond Jerusalem, about 40 kilometers south of Jerusalem. They're gathering together, they're uniting together, and they want to attack King Jehoshaphat and his kingdom. And they're planning on doing some pretty serious damage. It notes in that passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 that Jehoshaphat, the king, is alarmed. Now, King Jehoshaphat was no doormat. He had a great army. He had soldiers who were trained to fight. He had put all these, they were ready to do the damage to protect the city of Jerusalem. He was somebody who was equipped to do it. But from a purely natural point of view, he had nothing to be afraid of. In fact, when he heard the news, he probably could have said, "That's okay, bring it on. We got an army. We'll defend this city." But he also recognized in his spirit there was something in his heart that said, you know, if God is not a part of this, if God is not going to help us in the midst of this battle, his own strength would mean nothing. And the truth is, he wondered at that moment if God was really with him. He had a great army and he could probably have defended his city and his country, but something had happened in the past which made him wonder, is God really with me in this thing? Is God really walking with us? Is God really going to help us face this battle? He was afraid. And for him, this was a great challenge to his faith as he wondered, are you really there for me, God? You know, that's a question that, boy, I ask myself at different times. Are you really there? Are you really there? Are you really going to go with me? Are you really going before? Are you really standing behind? As I wonder and just ask that question, even as King Jehoshaphat did, and as I look at the challenges just in the day-to-day of life, God, are you really there? Are you really going to make a difference for me? How does King Jehoshaphat deal with this great challenge to his faith? There's a few things that he does that I think can act as lessons, as encouragement to us this morning. First thing is he does is he confesses his dependence. Could you just click that forward? It's not working. He confesses his dependence upon God. King Jehoshaphat was not exactly in a weak position, and yet he was not ashamed to confess his dependence on God. That's the attitude to have. Admitting that even in the face of a challenge, even if it comes in an area where you feel strong, that you can say, yes, God, I need your help. Anyone can be desperate concerning things that they have little or no strength in. But it's quite something to see desperation, true desperation, when we face a challenge in the very areas of our lives where we are strong, at least from a natural point of view. And so being aware of his need, King Jehoshaphat calls the people together to pray, and he calls them to fast. and to bring this need before God. And King Jehoshaphat leads the nation in prayer. And he very clearly in this prayer states his confidence in God. Let me read what he prays in 2 Chronicles 23:3. Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of all the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, from Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. And so they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming now to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. There's some rich history built into that prayer, but there are four things that I noticed just even in that prayer that he includes in this prayer. First of all, he says, God, you are in charge. God, you are in control. That's how a prayer of dependence starts. It says, God, you are in control of all things. Who can stand up against you? Then he says, God, you are faithful. You have proven yourself again and again in the history of our people. You have been faithful and true to every one of your promises. And then he says, God, you made a promise that if we are in trouble and we call out to you, you will hear us and save us. And so Jehoshaphat is just leading his people and saying, God, you promised. You said you would be with us. And so now be with us. And finally, he says, God, we are in trouble. We are powerless. Even though he had a great army himself, he still declares his dependence on God. We are powerless. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. These people with their king could come to God with complete and utter dependence on the basis of who God is. They knew that it was God who could do it, that he was in charge of everything. He had done it before. He was faithful. He had promised it. And if they humble themselves and pray, God would hear. And so their dependence upon God was not a crutch, but it was an honest assessment. It was an honest look at their reality and saying, we can do only so much. Only God can add that which we need to get us through this situation. We do not know what to do, he says, but our eyes are upon you. When was the last time you whispered something like that to God? Well, I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to look to you, God. Well, that's almost like a daily breath prayer, isn't it? It's like, I don't know what to do, God, but I'm going to look to you. What a beautiful prayer that is. There is nothing wrong with admitting you need God to help you face the challenges to your faith. Too often we can get caught up in this mindset that says, if I just keep trying harder, if I just do more, if I just kind of keep the nose to the grindstone, things are going to get better. Well, maybe they will, but maybe not. But if you are relying on your strength, if you're relying only on your wisdom, if you're relying on your ability and your connections to make it through, if that's all that you are trusting in, maybe it's time just to step back and say, God, I do not know what to do. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. King Jehoshaphat learned the first part of applying this principle. When you face challenges to your faith, it is time to praise the Lord. It is time to give thanks to God. See what happens next. Well, he receives assurance of God's presence. God says, yeah, I will be with you. Through one of his servants that he sent, a prophet came, and God tells him and says, if we are willing, he had prayed it earlier, if we are willing to humble ourselves, then God will answer. And this is the answer God gives. First of all, he says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged about the great army that is facing you. In fact, God says that two times because fear and discouragement are always bed buddies. You get that? When there's fear, there's discouragement. They hang out together. And so God addresses them both again and again because fear and discouragement act as a snare, holding people back from experiencing the fullness of God. Fear is like a blindfold. It darkens our eyes. It keeps you shrouded in the limitations of what can and cannot be done. And discouragement kind of feeds on that because it's like a rope that is wrapped around a person. Every past disappointment, every discouraging word or thought wraps itself around a person, squeezing the life right out of them. And so God addresses that through the prophet and says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." God says to them, "I am with you. I have come to take the blindfold off. I will be with you to lead you in this light. You do not need to be afraid. I have come to break the ropes of discouragement." Oh, what a refreshing word that is to these people at this time. Past discouragement, past disappointment, I am with you to give you a hope and a future. And then he says, God says through this prophet, the battle that you are facing is not your battle. It is mine, and I never lose. I love that. It is my battle. If God is in charge, he is in charge of everything. They prayed it earlier, and now God confirms it. King Jehoshaphat and the people are told to watch and see the great deliverance that God will bring. They are to position themselves with a sense of expectation, with a sense of readiness to receive what God has said that he would do. And then he says, "Go, go, the Lord will be with you." Talk about good news. King Jehoshaphat goes and prepares himself for this. Despite his having a great army, and King Jehoshaphat was faced with this reality of what was in front of him. He feared the enemy because he was not sure God was with him. And yet now God says to him, "I am with you." That's exactly the kind of assurance we need as we face the daily challenges of our lives and the challenges to our faith as we wonder, is God really involved in what is happening in my life right now? We need to be reminded as well that God is with us. When fear and discouragement has taken its toll, we need to know that God is with us and that he does battle for us. It sure would be nice to have a prophet show up every time we need encouragement. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody show up and say, "I have a word from the Lord, and this is what the word is. God is with you. He will fight your battle, and he'll be as specific about all the different things that we face." It'd be great if we had that. But most of the time, it doesn't happen like that. Sometimes God uses the gift of prophecy to encourage us in these things. But most of the time, we have other resources that we can fall back on, that we can find assurance in our lives. We have the resource of prayer. We have the resource of praying with others or having others pray for us. That's our primary connection with God. We talk, we share our need, we listen, and we hear what God says to us. Prayer is our personal means of growing in a meaningful relationship with a living and eternal God. And so we have that opportunity to be assured of his presence through prayer, through worship, whether it's musical worship or silent meditational worship or everything in between, whether it's alone or with others. Worship is an opportunity to be affirmed of God's presence and to know that he is with us. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. The promises of his presence are sprinkled throughout the Word of God as we read the Scriptures and we read it again and hear it again and again. Hebrews 13:5 comes to mind. "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Oh, that's the word of a prophet spoken directly to us and to our situation. And we have fellowship. We have opportunity to connect with one another, to be encouraged through the connection one with another. King Jehoshaphat is continuing to learn how to apply this principle about when he faces this challenge to his faith, it is time to give thanks. It is time to give praise. He's confessed his dependence, and now he receives the assurance of God's presence. The next thing is really where it kind of puts it into motion. As he expresses praise, he expresses thanks to God. King Jehoshaphat and his people gather together, ready to face this challenge. They've confessed their need. They have received the good news. God is with us. Now they start to praise God. They start to give thanks to God. King Jehoshaphat appoints a worship team to lead the way into battle. It says in verse 21, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army. It was the praisers and the worshipers, the worship team, the band that went ahead as they went into battle. Songs of praise to their God would go before the army in battle. Because if the battle is the Lord's, we want to give our attention, we want to give our focus on the Lord. And so they began to praise. The word that is translated praise in this verse is halal. Halal means the boasting and bragging about God. It's kind of like saying, yeah, our God is mighty. Our God is strong. Our God is able to do something. Our God is bigger than your God. That sense of boasting and bragging in God. That's the kind of praise that went before as they were singing these songs, as they were speaking out these words, halal, praise to our God. It may seem odd carrying on that way about God in front of other people, yet people rarely think it odd to celebrate in such, well, clamorously and loud ways about their sports team winning some kind of a thing. I mean, last night I watched a little bit of the Raptors game, and I mean, the Raptors game is one thing inside, but you know, the action is really happening outside in front of the Scotia Arena. That crowd, I mean, every time they put the camera on, what do? Say, oh, no, man, they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff, all kinds of antics, giving praise to the Raptors and celebrating them. And so it's not so odd to consider that, you know, people could be clamorous, be loud, be boisterous about their God. That's the picture we have of this worship team going ahead of Jehoshaphat and his army. They were reassured that God would be with them. And as they go out in front, they sang a song of praise. They led the way into battle singing this song. Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. We sang that here this morning a few times. Give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. Another word for praise here is yada. This word is a confession. It's a declaration and it declares a fact about God. They have declared here that his love endures forever. This is not fake news. This is a truthful statement about their God. God, your love endures forever. A confession that accompanies this confession of faith. It says, yes, we trust in you. We give thanks because your love endures forever. You know, when we raise our hands in praise, and some of us do that or are much more comfortable with it than others, when we throw up our hands in this way, it is a statement. It is expressing beyond our verbal expression and saying, yes, God, you are faithful. You are faithful. We give thanks to you. The worship team sang the song, and even in raising this song, raising our hands to that, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. And then as they went forth, it says that the Lord set ambushes against the enemy. As they sang and as they praised, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And they were defeated. The word translated praise here, in English we use praise for everything. But here it's the Hebrew word is tehillah, which is a song of praise or singing in an extemporaneous manner. It's kind of like just random, just kind of just saying songs of praise and say declaring God's might and his power. It's almost like the people just spontaneously began to express their praise to God in song. And as they raised their song and their praise to God, a boasting about him, the Lord did what he said he would do. He fought their battle for them. The scriptures go on and they describe how the enemy literally melted before them. The enemy fought each other, and then they even turned against their own men. And when King Jehoshaphat and his army showed up, they saw the battlefield, and all of them were lying there. The enemy were lying down dead. It's a song of praise, a great lesson about praise, the power of praise. Jehoshaphat and his people, as they saw what God had done, they met together in what was called the Valley of Blessing. And on the fourth day, there they praised God. Again, another word for praise. Here the word is Barak. It's a celebration. It's an expression, a declaration as God who is the source of blessing. And in this sense, it means to kneel before God, to bless him and to salute him. And so Jehoshaphat and his army, his people, saluted, they honored, they blessed God for this great victory. Praise that flows out of complete and utter dependence upon God and a genuine sense of his presence is the kind of praise, the kind of thanksgiving, the kind of adoration that pleases God. It is that kind of praise that causes us to stand back and see deliverance of God, see how God is able to make a difference. Jehoshaphat discovered when you face challenges to your faith, it is time to praise the Lord. When things go bad, when you're in a tough situation, when there is a temptation to hold your mouth, to stop singing, to stop praising, and to say, no, I'm not doing anything, that is exactly the time to thank God. The time to thank God and say, God, you are in charge. You are in control. You are faithful to all of your good promises. You are with me. I will depend on your promises. I will depend on that knowledge that you go before me. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Easter. The words that are so aptly written in 1 Corinthians that say, thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What is the challenge? What is the challenge to your faith that you may be facing today? Think about the principle and the lessons and the things that are expressed here that the King of Israel experienced. And again, it's not so much about doing more and that, but it's really about where does the focus go? Each one of these principles reminds us that it is God who is at the very center. We recognize our dependence on our mighty God. We are dependent upon him. And so we praise him out of a sense of dependence, acknowledging our need for God, acknowledging our helplessness in the face of whatever challenge we may be facing. We praise the Lord and are assured that God is with us. We have the promise that he is with us, that he has not forsaken us. He knows you. He knows each one of us intimately, and he wants to fight the battle for you. Listen to his voice. Listen for his voice, whether it's through prayer or in the worship or in the word of God or even in the fellowship with other believers. God wants to speak to you, and he wants to remind you that he is with you. Praise the Lord out of a sense of thanksgiving for what he is able to do and what he has done in your life. Stand back and see what God has done. God will fight your battle. He will meet you in that moment of challenge. Whether it's a great challenge, whether it's even something that, oh, well, you know what, I can handle this. It's in those moments where God wants to reveal himself to each one of us, reminding us that he is God, that he is faithful. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. That's the heart of the message, because it is God whose love endures forever for each of us. No matter what we are going through, no matter what we may face, may we be reminded and assured of his presence. He goes before us. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and just lead us in a song, but even as we do that, let's just pray. Let's just bow our hearts before God, and whatever it might be right now that you may be thinking about that comes to your mind, a challenge to your own faith, may this be a time where you just are refreshed in the knowledge that God is with you, that he goes before you, and that this may be a moment for you to give thanks. This may be a moment for you just to say, God, you are on the throne. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let me pray. God, you are good. You are good. All your promises are yes and amen. You are faithful. You are in charge of all things. When our knowledge is limited, when our strength is failing, God, God, you stand with us. And so we declare today, as one person, as a body, we declare to you that our hope and our trust is in you. Because there is no other place we can go to but to you. Because you have proven yourself faithful again and again and again. And so, God, I pray that you would meet us in that declaration. Meet us, O God, in that point of need. Meet us, O God, in that point. Let your grace just overflow and let it overshadow. Let it fill up our lives in such a way that we would be confounded, that others would be amazed, that we would see that battle, that challenge. We would see it overcome through the grace and through the love and through the faithfulness of our God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the story of Jehoshaphat. Thank you, O God, for the witness and history of your faithfulness again and again and again. And so, God, today we do lean back on you. We declare our trust and our hope in you, a God who is forever, forever faithful to your promises. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name.